Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day we are blessed with here in Central Florida. When Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, he was speaking to his followers who also had a long way to go. A long way to go to understanding what God in Christ was doing. A long way to go what they were looking at, how God was moving about the earth. A long way to go in order to understand Jesus' divinity. Until that point, they had been fascinated with Jesus' miracles and powers. They had been fascinated with his teachings and his words of inspiration. They gave hope to the poor, hope to the frightened, and hope to those who are in need. But these words were not just for then and there when Jesus was here on earth. But those words of hope, those words of comfort, those words that things are going to be okay, those are words that are right here for us today. People were listening. They were asking questions. And they followed him as he moved from one town to another in the region of Galilee. But nothing really changed. He looked at the people and he said that nothing is really changing with these people. There has to be something more. People were listening to his message, following him, but other than that, society remained the same. He wanted to make a difference. And he wanted them to know that God is here on earth, alive and well, moved by the Holy Spirit to make a difference. He especially wanted to see changes in the way people treated one another. He wanted people to forgive quicker than to hold a grudge. He wanted people to love rather than to hate. And he wanted people not to seek retribution. He wanted his disciples to make some radical changes in their own lives as well. But his closest disciples deserted him when the chips were down, deserted him when he was there on the cross, about ready to be crucified and to die. And in fact, Peter denied him three times, and the rest of the people ran away. And when people asked, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" they said no. He wanted his listeners to rearrange their priorities of life, place a higher value on their faith, spreading the word of God, and having a stronger relationship with the Lord. Surely his words must have startled disciples. You mean he wants more out of us, more than just following him? He wants us to change the world and to help change these people's minds. No doubt that sent shockwaves through his crowds of listeners. What Jesus was saying, the same thing to all who would listen, and the same thing that Jesus says to us today. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is what we are called to do. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is what we are called to do. We are called to do that in and through our baptism. Being disciple of Christ is our mission. It is our ministry. It's our identity as human beings because we are baptized by water and the Holy Spirit. Being a disciple is not a question of our own doing. It's a matter of making room for God, making room for God in our schedules and in our lives so he can live in us and we can show to others that Christ is alive and lives in us. The kingdom of God can be a reality when the following conditions take place. First, when we are able to live life, to live faith daily as a way of life. Living faith daily as a way of life. In other words, we show Christ in all that we do. We are much willing and ready to forgive. We are ready to love. We are ready to care for one another. We are ready to be there wherever God calls us to any type of ministry. Second, when we have a solid relationship with God through worship, prayer, and study, and having a loving relationship with others, having a loving relationship with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and family members. That's how we show Christ is alive in us and in the world. Third, when we redirect our activities, our time, talent, and resources for the sake of the gospel, and we are called to build God's kingdom here on earth. This brings us closer to God because we are committed. We are committed with the gifts God has given us, and we want to share those with the rest of the world. What Jesus says in the gospel also today can be hard to hear and is often misunderstood. Does Jesus really want us to hate our families? Absolutely not. And no. What does Jesus want us to do? The word hate in the way we use it in the English language is not what Jesus meant. The correct translation for hate in Aramaic does not mean anger or hostility. It means to be less attached to. Less attached to. In other words, the demands of discipleship, the demands of our calling, the demands that God has set us out to do, and your call to serve God are to take precedence. Now, not everybody is going to understand this. Our friends probably won't even get it. Our family members may even think that we're a little odd. And I'm sure many of you have heard before, you're going back down to that church again to do what? But it's who we are. It's our identity. It's our shield. It's what we pronounce loudly. We are Christians and we serve God. In Jesus' day, the disciples were an itinerant band who left family and homes and took with them minimal worldly provisions. They were to proclaim the gospel, spread the word of God, and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This would require total commitment, total dedication. After all, the call to serve is not a part-time position or calling or job. And making their faith and witness number one priority in their lives is what Jesus was telling them that they had to do. Our families are indeed the most important group in the world. We cherish our children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, cousins, uncles, extended family members, we cherish them very much. And we worry about them. And we're concerned for them because we love. At some point, however, we have to come into and grow into our own faith. And we have to take responsibility for our faith and lives. In the hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised, it says this, O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow. Give me strength to go, my Lord and my friend. The peace of the gospel is not the same peace that the world is offering. In fact, compared to what the world offers, the peace of the world is nothing. God is supreme, and the peace is everlasting. The gospel asks us to follow God by faith and in community, as we're doing here today, each week, each Sunday, and all that we are called to do. We do this so we can deal with the concerns, the problems, and the pettiness of life in a holier way. That's what we're about. We're about dealing with the challenges of life in a holier way. So my prayer for you as you continue through this summer and you continue through this week, what is ever on your mind, whatever you have to deal with, first of all, be a disciple of Christ in dealing with it. Lift up your prayers to God and ask for direction. And deal with all these things in a holier way. Amen.